I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Really helpful if you could grab one of those blue Bibles, turn back to Romans chapter 1, page 1128. And it's good to see some of the young people opening their Bibles. Well done. So Romans chapter 1, guys, which is on page 1128. You can ask an adult to help you. If there are any children towards the back that want to come forward to sit on the benches, you can do that now. Anyone want to come forward? There's a few spaces here. No? Okay. Why don't we pray, and we're going to ask for God's help. Father, we thank you so much that we have Bibles in our hands, in a language we can read and understand. And so we pray now this morning that you would give each one of us here ears to hear your voice. And we pray that you would give us hearts to accept what you've got to say. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, guys, you may not have heard of this game. Has anyone heard of the game? You can listen to it on the radio. It's called Just a Minute. Any adults heard of the game Just a Minute? Yes. Good. Just a Minute. Let me try and explain then how this game works. So Just a Minute is played with two teams, and each team takes it in turns in order to try and score a point. And one person from that team to get the points has to talk for 60 seconds. They're given a topic, and they have to talk non-stop for one whole minute. Now, that may sound easy, but for most of us, that's pretty hard. So we're going to have a go, not at just a minute, but at just at 20 seconds this morning. So we need two teams. I need a team of adults, two adult volunteers, and then two young people volunteers. I can pick the most talkative people from the adults. Any adults want to volunteer? Alison's being nominated at the back. Alison, up you come. And what about a man from the adults? Jace, you've been nominated. We all know you like to talk, Jace. And now two young, Dan and Kat. Yes, another talker. Yes. Okay, so we'll have the young people this side, adults this side. So we are playing for prizes. Dan's checking out what the prizes are in my bag. We are playing for prizes. Now, each of you is going to get given the name of a particular person that I would like you to talk about. I need to get my horn. So each of you will be given the name of a particular person. I'll then give you a moment to think, and then we will start the clock. Has anybody, any young person, got a stopwatch on them or a digital clock? No? I'll do it then. That's fine. So, and then if you hesitate or pause, so if they stop talking during that 20 seconds, then I will blow my horn. Okay? So we're going to start with Jace. Nice one. Thank you. Jace, the person I'd like you to talk about is Archimedes. Ready, set, go.
Archimedes is a difficult name to spell.
Hesitation. Right, Dan, the people I would like you to speak about are your parents. So take a moment to think. You can tell us anything you want about your parents. So you can tell us what they do as their work. You can tell us where their favourite holiday destination is. You can tell us about their hobbies. Anything you like. So take a think. Ready? Set. And you've got to beat Jason's time and then I'll give you a prize. So Jace had about 1 second. Didn't even start the clock. 3 seconds. Ready? Dan? Set. Go. Kind football. What about mum? Well, mum's the kind one. Tell us about a trip you went on to see a football match. Tell us about yesterday. I think that was a draw. Okay, next adult, Alison. The person I'd like you to tell us about, again, another ancient mathematician, Pythagoras.
Oh, Pythagoras. Pythagoras was an ancient mathematician. It was a male who liked to play with numbers. He had numbers and lots of rows, and he started with a number and had decimal point and had lots and lots and lots of numbers after.
Okay, you're ruining the point. The point was I was going to be able to beat the horn early, but very good. I think we should give Alison a round of applause. Okay, last one, Kat. I'd like you to tell us about your parents, okay? So Dave and Beth, tell us all about your parents. And you've got to beat Alison, so that is going to be a challenge. I reckon about 5 seconds that was. Ready, Kat? Got some information in your head? Off you go. Oh, and they're that interesting. Okay, I have to beat the horn. Okay, I think we should give them all a round of applause and you can all have a jelly worm. Go on, Alison, do you want one? I know you do.
Thank you.
So, what I was hoping was that the adults would only take about 1 second. They wouldn't have much information to tell us about Archimedes and Pythagoras, two people that we don't really know about, and that our young people would talk on and on and on about their parents. And the reason I was hoping that is because obviously Dan and Kat know a lot more about their parents than Jace and Alison know about Pythagoras and Archimedes. Obviously, Dan and Kat love their parents and think their parents are great. I was hoping that they would be able to talk for 20 seconds at least. But this morning, I'm going to tell us about a man who knows and loves and thinks Jesus is great. And this man, he couldn't just talk for 20 seconds about Jesus. He could talk for hours after hour after hour about Jesus. And his name is Paul. Paul. In fact, it's Paul who wrote the words that we had read to us earlier. He wrote a letter to a group of Christians in a place called Rome. Anyone know where Rome is? Where's Rome, Nehemiah? Do you know? Good man. Exactly. So Paul wrote a letter to a group of Christians in this place called Rome. And we've got that letter in the Bible. And it's called Romans. So we're going to look at some of his words. And he starts in that letter by telling us something absolutely amazing. Something brilliant. He says that Jesus is the Son of God and God's King of the whole world. He tells us that Jesus died, but that 3 days later, Jesus was raised back to life. And that's all the proof we need to understand that he is the Lord. Paul says that that news about Jesus being alive is the gospel. Anyone know what gospel means? You may have heard that word out the back in the Village Kids. Anyone know what the word gospel means? If you can tell me, you can have a sweet. Look at that. Oh, the hand goes up. Zeb, what does gospel mean? Good man, come and get a sweet. Good news. Yeah, gospel means good news. So Paul is writing all about the good news that Jesus is alive. And he is so passionate about that news that he wants to tell anybody and everybody. So these words should appear on the screen. Have a look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 1, verse 15. This is what he says. I am so eager to preach the gospel, the good news. So do you see, Paul can't stop speaking about Jesus. If he was given the topic Jesus in the game just a minute, he could go on and on and on. And what I want us to see this morning in our Bible passage is two big reasons why Paul is passionate about Jesus. So Paul is passionate about Jesus, and here's the first reason. The good news about Jesus is a debt to everyone. It's a debt to everyone. So again, have a look at verse 14. Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. Which sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? It's like Paul gets up and at the top of his voice shouts, yes! I'm in debt! I owe everyone! Brilliant! Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? So I need a volunteer to help me understand or help me explain what Paul is saying. Someone who's not... Abby, come, Millie. Now, I love sour squirms. Here you go, Millie. I love sour squirms. They're my favourite sweets. And the best thing about sour squirms is they help us understand the Bible a little bit better. So I just can't stop buying them. Now, there are two ways that you can be in debt. You can owe somebody. The first way, Millie, is if you said, Johnny, can I have some of your jelly squirms? And you said, I'm going to pay you back later. Okay, so you can eat one of my sour squirms. And if Millie said to me that she was going to pay me back later, she would be in my debt. She would owe me. And that debt wouldn't be cancelled until she's gone out and bought some sour squirms for herself and given one back to me. That's one way Millie could be in my debt. The other way, and this is the really important way that Millie could be in my debt, is if I said to Millie, Millie, can you take my bag of sour squirms and can you pass some on to some of the other people in this room? She would be in my debt until she's passed them out. So I think, who looks like they need a sour squirm, Millie? What do you think? Oh, all of a sudden. So why don't you give some to a couple of adults? See if you can find some adults that want a sour squirm. So Millie is in my debt, because I've said to Millie, can you pass them to a couple of adults in the room? But now that she's passing them, she's no longer in my debt. She's passing them on. Well done, Millie. Don't give them all out. I want a few for later. Thanks, Millie. So do you see two ways that you can be in debt? The first way was if Millie owed me and needed to pay me back. The second way is if I've trusted Millie with my sour squirms and it's her job to pass them on. And when Paul says here, I am a debtor, he means that second way. What he means is God has given him this good news about Jesus, that Jesus is alive. And it's his job now to pass it to Greeks and to non-Greeks and to everybody and anybody. And here's the thing. If you're a Christian, actually you're a debtor. We're debtors. God has given us, here in Emerson's Green, the good news about Jesus. And he's given us the job of passing it on to everybody and anybody. Just imagine I gave my sour squirms to one of you. And I said to you, can you take it to school on Monday and give them out to your buddies? But you didn't want to do that. You took my sour squirms home and you put them next to your bed in a drawer. You didn't give them to your friends. Actually, what you did is every time you went home, you opened the drawer, you had a look at those sour squirms, you thought they looked tasty. You thought to yourself, my friends at school would enjoy those sour squirms. But you then shut the drawer again. And you didn't do what I asked you to do, which was to pass them on and share them. That would be a little bit selfish. And in a similar kind of way, God has trusted us with his most precious possession, the good news about Jesus. And it's our job not to put it in a drawer and to hide it, but to tell other people about it. Actually, if you have a look at verse 14, Paul says he's a debtor both to Greeks and to non-Greeks. What he's saying is, my job is to pass this good news to anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter where they're from, what country they live in, they need to hear about Jesus being alive. So, I've got a map. Anyone good at geography? Anyone think they can come and show me, for a jelly squirm, where we live? Where do we live? Ella, why don't you come and find the UK, England, on my map? No probs, have a jelly squirm. Now, here's one that's slightly harder. Let's go into Europe. Anyone tell me where Portugal is? Anyone tell me? Jamie, do you want to come forward? Come and tell me where Portugal is. I'll tell you the next country that I want you to find. The next country is hard. Morocco. So have a think if you know where Morocco is. Where's Portugal? Do you know, sir? Do Spain. We're here. Anyone want to come and help Jamie out? They know where. You found the next one. Okay, hold that thought, Jamie. Josh, why don't you come and find Portugal? Where's Portugal? Don't go away, Jamie. You can show us where the next one is. Somewhere around here. Josh is struggling. Anyone know where Portugal is? Jacob, do you want to come forward and see if you can find Portugal? Close. Getting close. We're struggling with Portugal. Deanna, why don't you come forward? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Tom, do you know? Where's Portugal? Good man, there it is. Here you go, Tom. And guys, because I'm generous, you can have a jelly squirm as well. Look at that. And Jamie, the next one I want you to find is Morocco. Have you spotted Morocco? That's it, you're right, towards the top of Africa. Good man, there it is. There it is. Well done. And did you know that in Morocco there are 33 million people? 33 million people. And 29 million of those people haven't heard about Jesus. And actually, they've got nobody in that country that's telling them about Jesus, that's passing the message on to them that Jesus is alive. Anyone tell me, last one, where India is? Where India is? Josh, do you reckon you know where India is? You're very close. Getting cold. Down. Big orange country. Good man. There's India. And in India, did you know there are 1,247,000,000 people? There are millions and millions of men and women and boys and girls. And most of them haven't heard about Jesus. And most of them have nobody to tell them about Jesus. And so if we're Christians here this morning, do you realize that you've been given something infinitely precious? The good news about Jesus. God has trusted it to you, to me, and our job is to pass it on and tell other people about him. So perhaps you've got a buddy at school, colleague at work, somebody that you could be thinking, I'd love to tell them about Jesus, because it is good news that he's alive. Or perhaps we could get into the habit of praying for our workers who are all around the world, trying to tell people about Jesus. So the good news is a debt to everyone. We're to pass it on. Before we look at the second reason why Paul is so passionate about speaking about Jesus, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing Everyone Needs Compassion. So when the music group starts, let's stand and sing together. Bone. Who would make a good king? Meg, you look like you'd make a good king. Or queen. There we go. Now, Meg is a good queen. She cares about right and wrong and justice. And so when she hears that her palace has been broken into, a thief smashed the windows and stole the gold that belongs to her. So I need a thief. I need a thief. Who would make a good thief? Reuben, unfortunately you would. So Reuben, come and stand and take my gold. Or the king's gold. But this thief gets dragged in before the king. And he's on his knees. And he is guilty. Reuben, can you just hold that for me? He is guilty. Does anyone know what that word means? What does it mean to be guilty? What does it mean to be guilty? He has been selfish, yes, that's a good answer. Aya? He does feel guilty, but he's guilty because he's done something wrong. That was the first thing you said, yes. Because he's done something wrong, he's guilty. And because he's guilty, he deserves to be punished. This thief deserves to be punished. But in this kingdom, the king is amazing. So the king gets up, takes off his crown, and comes and stands behind the thief. And the king at that point, after the thief has been tied to a pole, says, "You can punish me instead." So the king protects the thief and takes all of the blows. So the thief should be whipped for his crime and because he's guilty. But the king takes it all instead. And then the king announces that justice has been done. The penalty has been paid and the thief is set free. So he's no longer guilty. He's not guilty. Why don't we give these guys a round of applause? Nice one, Reuben. Thank you. And in a similar kind of way, the Bible says that all of us are guilty. Guilty in God's sight. He has loved us, but we haven't really been interested in him. We hate him. In our heart of hearts. So we're guilty. And we too deserve to be punished. But the King of Kings, Jesus, came from heaven, stood to protect us, and he took the punishment that people like us deserve. And for anyone who believes in Jesus, God looks at them and says, they're not guilty. Because the punishment has been taken, justice has been done, they're not guilty. Actually, one of the Bible words that Paul uses in verse 17 is righteous. So people who believe in Jesus have been given God's righteousness, which is a bit of a weird word. We don't really use it much today. But it basically means not guilty. Right with God. So that verdict is given to everyone who believes. That's what it says in verse 16. And so no wonder Paul is eager to tell people about Jesus. It's only when they hear about him and his life and his death and his resurrection that they can believe and trust. They can be forgiven. And God can announce that that person is no longer guilty, but is righteous. So do you see? Doesn't matter whether you're a Greek or a non-Greek, or whether you're wise or foolish, whether you're good at numeracy or bad at literacy. That doesn't really matter. What matters more than anything in all the world is what you believe about Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, now God says you are not guilty. And when you meet him face to face, he will say you're not guilty. Because Jesus has taken the punishment you deserve. So as we finish, I want to ask a few questions. I'll leave a few moments quiet after each question, just for you to honestly think in your own mind, where do I stand with Jesus? So here's the first question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus died in your place, that justice was done? Do you believe that Jesus rose again? And do you want to live by faith, which means live trusting him, following him as your king? Why don't we pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the good news about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We praise you that he is alive. We pray that if we're Christians here, we might be people who go out and share the good news about him with everybody and anybody. And Father, we pray for anyone here who doesn't know him. Father, we pray that they would realize that they are guilty. Pray that they would turn even today to trust in Jesus, knowing that if they do that, they will be declared righteous. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our last song, which is Mighty, Mighty Saviour. Let's stand.